Text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 101, verse 2. Psalm 101, verse 2. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the Psalms are prophetical. The words of the Psalms breathed out by the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us as the holy, holy, holy God incarnate, and the holy, harmless, undefiled man who is separate from sinners. The words of Psalm 101 are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which he resolves how he will live as the servant of the Lord and the redeemer of sinners. By these holy resolutions, our Savior also teaches us how we should serve the Lord in our calling in this life. With a perfect heart, with a life that is guided by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom, and by his holy word, in which he teaches us his wisdom. In verse 1 of this psalm, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to rejoice in God's mercy and justice, which he will exhibit in the ordering of his kingdom. Mercy and justice are attributes of God. Psalm 89, verse 14 says of the Lord Jesus Christ, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. What does the Lord resolve here in verse 2 of Psalm 101? Our Savior says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect King, the righteous King, the merciful King, the just King, the holy King, the King that each one of us so desperately needs to redeem us from our sins and to subdue our hearts unto God in righteousness and holiness and mercy and justice and truth. And here the Lord Jesus describes for us his perfect heart and wise behavior as the servant of the Lord. The Lord says of Christ in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. The Hebrew verb in Isaiah 52, verse 13, translated deal prudently, is the same verb used here in Psalm 101, verse 2, which is translated, I will behave wisely. Christ will be wise and prudent, careful, full of understanding, compassion, and gentleness. He will reign with mercy and justice and truth. The Gospels tell us that when Jesus was here on earth, he grew in wisdom. During his public ministry, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 31, the Queen of Sheba will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, the Lord Jesus Christ says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul refers to this passage in Jeremiah chapter 9 when he writes in 1 Corinthians 1 verses 23 and 24, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to us who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then Paul adds in verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ is the wisdom of God. And he became for us wisdom from God. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Christ behaved wisely in a perfect way. As God, he is holy, holy, holy in his being, in his nature, in his attributes, in all his ways, works, and words. There is no shadow upon him. He cannot sin. When he was here upon earth as man, we read that he did no sin. He was able to say in John chapter 8, verse 29, I always do those things that please him, that is, the Father, with whom he enjoyed most wonderful communion. And so he says here in our text, oh, when will you come to me? And then our Savior adds, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. What house? If Christ is the speaker, what house is he talking about? The answer is in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, which we read together just a few moments ago. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone. But he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. I will walk within my house, the church, with a perfect heart. What does he mean by walking within the house, walking within the church? He means that he moves within the church to bless, to revive, to restore, to heal, to fill. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, the Lord Jesus describes himself this way in his letter to the angel of the church of Ephesus. These things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. The seven golden lampstands are the symbols of the seven churches in Asia Minor. Christ walks in the midst of them. Here in our text, Christ says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. In the first four verses of Psalm 101, the Lord Jesus Christ makes several resolutions of how he will govern his own heart and his own life as the servant of the Lord, who as the last Adam came to earth to redeem sinners from sin and from death and from Satan. I will sing. I will behave wisely. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. These are resolutions which he is making. He has authority to make them, and he has the authority to keep them. And all of them will be realized. Here we see the Lord's authority over his own heart and over his own life. We can learn so much from these holy resolutions of our Savior, which should be our resolutions also. The first resolution here in verse 2 is, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. What is this perfect way? It is the way of mercy and the way of justice described in verse 1. Here, Christ resolves, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, how true that is of Christ. He is called in Scripture the wisdom of God. There is a twofold wisdom. There is the wisdom of knowledge, and he can behave according to it. He knows everything. He tries the reins and the hearts of men. In John 20, verse 17, Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. There is nothing that our Lord does not know. All things are naked and open to him with whom we have to do. There is also, second, the wisdom of working. When he implements that knowledge, or he uses that knowledge to perform an act, it is inevitably a wise act. The Lord has that wisdom of working in what he does, so that everything he does is always wonderfully wise, always above criticism as a perfect work. And that is true of his work of redemption itself. He came into this world to obey the law for poor men, women, and children of Adam's race, in order that by his righteousness he might earn heaven for us. He acted so wisely. He was never wanting to sin. He never broke that law. He never failed in his righteousness. He came to suffer the punishment of our sins, which he suffered all throughout his life, but supremely in his death as the man of sorrows. And he did not turn away from the way of the cross, and he was not tempted to choose any easier course. But he knew that it had to be that one should suffer for the nation. And not for that nation only, but that he should gather together in one the children of God which are scattered abroad. On the cross, Jesus accomplished a perfect redemption. There was not one slip. There was not one error in judgment. There was not one mistake in what he did. It was all perfectly wise. Brothers and sisters, in his dealings with us, we can see something of that wisdom. Our Lord makes no mistakes. But what happens to us in our lives is the result of his wisdom. We may not see it. We may not understand what is happening to us. Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 7, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Just believe me that I have knowledge of your life, knowledge of the past, knowledge of the future, knowledge of your whole purpose of existence here upon the earth, and I will guide you. I will lead you. I shall not err. I will behave wisely in a perfect way, and those who trust in me will find that wisdom conducting them even to heaven itself." Some of you are just starting in life. Before you form a household, sit down and consider what is the best course of action. Perhaps you are still living in your parents' home, and as you contemplate starting your own home someday, this is the time, now, to learn from and to follow, to practice following the perfect example of our Savior in how to live wisely in a perfect way. It may be that you are starting afresh, beginning life anew. How will you act? What will you choose? You shall truly be happy and blessed if the grace of God in Jesus Christ leads you to say, "I choose Christ, who is wisdom, the truest and best wisdom. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection so that I might live as God wants me to live, understanding His testimonies and obeying His laws. I will gladly live as Christ lived when He was here on earth. I will behave wisely in a perfect way." Oh, that every young man and woman here would emulate the example of Christ. Oh, that every one of us in our present condition and whatever may lie for us in the future might say, "Whatever happens to me, this is my resolution. I desire to behave wisely in a perfect way." Others run after wealth or fame or ease or luxury. Let them cry, "Who will show me any good?" Let them make self their idol or follow after gold. As for me, my soul is set on this one purpose, to seek this one thing. I want to be wise, my God, and behave wisely in a perfect way. We need to follow wisdom in every part of life, in every part of society. The humblest servant needs wisdom to do his or her duty and to adorn the position that God has given. Mothers with children need particular wisdom to shepherd their children in their young lives so that they may learn from Christ, who is gentle and lowly in heart, and they may take His yoke upon them as His joyful servants. If you are in business, you need wisdom in such an age as this, full of fierce competition, rampant corruption, and many temptations. If you are a father and you want to train your children in the fear of the Lord, you have a task that takes great wisdom. It takes true wisdom to judge this boy's disposition and to understand that girl's character, so that you are neither too severe nor too lenient. Much wisdom is needed to know how to deal with each child like a gardener deals with each separate plant or a shepherd deals with each lamb. Many have been unwise with their children, and that has led to great anguish of heart when they have grown up. Parents, and heads of households, managers of business, workers. You all need wisdom. You must have it or you will make shipwreck. And if you make shipwreck of the life that God has given you and the humble position that He has placed you in, it can bring sorrow and difficulty. You need to behave wisely, whatever your calling in this world may be. The way to act in every case is to fear God and keep His commandments, which teach us the way of Christ, the way of mercy and of justice, the way of wisdom and of life. The Lord says in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Follow the example of your Master and your Savior, who has bought you with His own precious blood. If it costs you trouble, if it costs you your life, Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 8, it is better for you to enter into eternal life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The perfect way is the wise way. And the wise way is the perfect way. It may cost you a great deal of effort and strength. It is not a light thing. And therefore you must resolve, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. We must be fully determined to behave wisely in a perfect way. And recognizing that we are not able to do this in our own strength, we must completely rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ to enable us to live wisely in a perfect way. I must have more grace. I must have more help than I can ever find in myself or in any other person. I must use all the means of grace. I must call God to be my helper in this matter. For whatever it may cost, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Godly character is too momentous to be trifled with. It must be of sterling metal, or else it is mere dross. The way we live in our homes, in our places of work, in our relationships with other people, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in society, is important, extremely significant. It shocks me to my very soul when I hear people talk about the doctrines of grace, which are as dear to my heart as life itself, who uphold the principle while they ignore the practices of godliness and holiness, for their lives are inconsistent with their professions. Brothers and sisters, God save you from being Mr. Talkative, who can discuss free grace at great length but has never felt the power of it in his own heart, in his own soul, in his own life, in his own walk before God. If the grace of God does not save a man from drunkenness, from immorality, from perversion, from anger and evil, from every kind of wicked oppression, from lies in business, from lewdness in joking, from slandering your fellow man, from scowling at your fellow Christians, then I think the grace of God must be a very different thing from what I read of in this precious book. Either Christ is a liar, or your pretensions are spurious. The grace of God comes freely to sinners as the sovereign distinguishing gift of heaven. But it changes the heart. It changes the mind. It changes the lives of men and women and children, the old, the young, the experienced, the inexperienced. The grace of God produces holy character and humble, holy, godly living. The grace of God produces love and kindness and peace and all the fruit of the Spirit. Paul writes to Titus in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." If you're a cat and your dog are not better off because you are in Christ, then you do not know the Christ of Scripture, nor the grace of God in Jesus Christ. If Christ does not make you as a husband, as a father, as a supervisor, as an employer, as a leader, as a servant, as a wife, as a child, as a sister, as a brother, gentler and kinder to those around you, if it does not make you more respectful and more diligent, if it does not make you more compassionate and more honest, if it does not make you less a man pleaser, if it does not in fact make you more moral, more God-fearing, more God-honoring and God-pleasing, that does not make you more holy, you may well question whether you know anything about the grace of God in your soul at all. It is not right to say, "Well, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. He's made me whiter than snow. And He's created a new heart and put a right spirit within me, and that is enough. I do not need to change how I live." We're not saved by works. It's all of grace. But that is not the language of Christ here in our text. And it is not the language of any legitimate child of God. The child of God says with the Lord Jesus Christ here in our text, "I will behave wisely in a perfect way." We who talk much about God's great, amazing, sovereign grace should be zealous for good works. Where good works do not follow upon faith, faith is dead. Christ Jesus gave Himself for me, that He might redeem me from every lawless deed and purify me for Himself, His own special people, zealous for good works. Titus 2, verse 14. Oh, that you will say with Jesus here in our text, "I will behave wisely in a perfect way, and the grace of Christ will lead you to live wisely and to follow Christ in His mercy, in His justice, in His righteousness, and in His holiness." The Lord Jesus has hardly spoken this first resolution in verse 2 when He cries out, "Oh, when will you come to me?" As the scribe stops to fix his pen and paper, or the mower stops to fix his machine, So you expedite your work by stopping in the middle of it to pray. Lord Jesus stops in the middle of these two resolutions to pray. Oh, when will you come to me? He means, Lord, I want to be wise. Come and teach me. I want to behave wisely in a perfect way. Lord, come and sanctify me. I do not know how to act until you instruct me. Open my lips that I may show forth your praise. Guide my feet that I may run in the way of your commands. Keep my eyes from looking upon sin. Hold back my hand from iniquity. When will you come to me? I need your Holy Spirit. I need your word to guide me in your ways. Lord, come and teach me. Further, the Lord Jesus means, Lord, come and help me. Assist me. There is holiness to which I have not yet attained. Come, Holy Spirit, lift me up unto it. There is sin which I have not yet conquered. Oh, come, you conquering spirit of holiness, and overcome the evil. When will you come to me? I am feeble and could do nothing. But when I have your almighty power, I become strong and can do all things. When will you come to me? Jesus' soul is crying after divine teaching, divine direction, divine assistance. His soul yearns after divine fellowship. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, we never walk aright unless we walk with God. As holiness is wisdom, so communion is the mother of holiness. We must see God if we are to be like God. If from day to day we can be content without a word from the mouth of God, and go to our work without prayer, and come home and go to bed without seeking the face of our Father who is in heaven, then to walk wisely is impossible. It will not happen. The neglect of prayer is a fatal flaw in any life. Communion with God is so essential, and the disregard of it such a folly, that it is simply ridiculous for the person who neglects prayer to talk about behaving himself wisely in a perfect way. Godliness is the soul of life. Get near to God. That is vital. If we walk with Him, we walk in the light. But if we get away from Him, we walk in the darkness. It cannot be otherwise. And he who walks in the darkness will stumble. He may not know why he stumbles, but he will stumble. Only he who walks in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and in constant communion with Him will be enabled to walk wisely in a perfect way when the light comes to us. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? Is like an expression of holy awe. As if he said, Lord, I need to behave myself aright, for you are coming. I am a steward. You are my master, and you are coming to say, give an account of your stewardship. I am a servant and must be faithful to Christ, for my master can see me. And my master is on the way to say to me, what have you done with your talent? How have you put it to use? When will you come to me? It makes me feel a trembling in my soul and brings the tears into my eyes when I think of having to go before my Lord to give him my account. Since we have received such great grace, our stewardship will not be easily accounted for. If you were called upon without further notice to give your account, can you tell the Lord you have been faithful in what the Lord has entrusted to you? Have you been faithful in nurturing your children's souls and bringing them up wisely in a perfect way? Have you been faithful in your responsibilities to those who serve, those you serve in your home, at your work, in the church of the Lord Jesus, in society? Are you ready? Are you able to give a satisfactory account of your life and your relationships? I will behave wisely in a perfect way, for your eye is on me, O my God. And your day is coming when I must be put into the balance. And if I am found wanting, if I'm not found in the Lord Jesus Christ and living out of His grace and out of His resurrection power, then I shall be doomed when your eyes shall search my heart and test whether I truly know Christ and therefore have lived for Him. Oh, may God give you His grace to order your lives by His word, by the example of the Lord Jesus. You cannot do that without the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Oh, that you may look forward with joy, with anticipation, to the Lord Jesus coming again to find you, yes, you, a faithful servant. There's a second resolution here in our text. Verse 2 concludes, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ walks within the church even now. He walks to hear the cry of this one and to attend to the prayer of that one, to deliver a word of comfort to this poor soul, this poor vexed heart. We cannot see Him, but He moves among us to touch our hearts, to receive a word of consolation, to enlarge our hearts so that we can praise Him as He deserves to be praised. He walks in the midst of His house. He's never far from us when we are gathered together on the Lord's Day for worship, to hear His word, and to gather around Him with Jesus in the midst. He walks with a perfect heart. What it means is that with an absolutely sincere heart, he only seeks God's honor in us and our good. He has an upright heart, a sincere, true heart, and that is the meaning of the word perfect. When he comes into the church, and he has a promise to fulfill, he will always fulfill it. Every word that he has spoken, he will fulfill. Because within his house, he walks with a perfect heart. He has undertaken to be with his church always, literally all the days, even to the end of the world. He will always be there. Even when the church does not feel His presence, He will be there. Even when the church has not prayed for His presence, He will be there. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. We must follow this holy resolution of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own lives. We must keep our own heart. The Lord says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It is of no use attempting to cleanse our lives when the fountain is corrupt. We must heal the springs. The heart needs put right. When the heart is right, then all will be right. If we show our hearts anywhere, it is at home. That is where we wear our hearts on our sleeves. Outside in the world, it's not safe to show too much of our heart. At home, everybody should be open-hearted and transparent. If we are to walk aright at home, the heart must be made sound. If a man says, I want to be a good husband, a good father. If a woman says, I want to be a good wife, a good mother. If someone says, I want to be a good worker, or I want to be a good child. The sinful heart must first be changed by Christ. If the heart is right, other things will surely follow in their place. The heart must be perfect. That is, it must be shaped by Christ. It must be guided by wisdom. It must be humbled by the Lord. It must be made new by the power of the Holy Spirit. It must love and desire God's mercy and justice. And then we must show our heart in our actions and in our words. It is a terrible thing when a man does not open his heart in the sacred precincts of his own home. No heart. But it is worse when you see a woman with no heart. And there are some. No heart. Oh, a house is all the better for having a heart inside it. And a man is a man, and he is more like God when there is a heart inside his ribs. When he gets home, the children feel that father has a heart of love and grace and mercy and justice and wisdom and compassion. And as they climb his knees and smother him with kisses, they delight to know that he has a warm heart. And when he greets his family, he has a soul that goes beyond his own little self and is enlarged and inspires the whole of the family. Oh, give me heart. That is what Christ means when he says, I will behave wisely and walk within my house with a perfect heart. He has a heart of love and compassion and grace and mercy in everything he does, in everything he says. The heart must be right. And the heart must be expressed. The next thing is that the conduct at home must be gracious and holy. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. We should seek to walk before God with a perfect heart in every moment of every day. There are many Christians, professing Christians, who fail in this. Some who profess to be Christ's behave themselves like devils at home. A person is what he is at home. This is a simple but a crucial test of character. If a man does not make his family happy, and if his example is not that of holiness, of Christ-likeness in the home, he may make whatever pretensions of godliness he likes, but his religion is worthless. It is a lie. And the sooner he gets rid of such a profession, the better for himself. For then he may begin to seek the Lord in spirit and in truth. It is at home that the lack of true religion will do the most damage. If you are a hypocrite and go out into the world, you will soon find out that the people who observe you will not be influenced much by your example. But that will not be so with a child who sees his father's actions. He is not able to criticize, but he has a wonderful ability to imitate. A child will take it for granted that mother is right and imitate her. And you will be injuring that child for life unless Christ wonderfully intervenes by his grace. At home, to our children, especially when they are young. We are, as it were, little gods. They take their law from our mouth, and their conduct is shaped according to the pattern we set before them. In our homes, if anywhere, holiness ought to be conspicuous. For there, holiness is most beautiful, it is most useful, most productive. It is a blessed thing for some of us that we can look back upon a father's example and a mother's example with nothing but gratitude to God, because they pointed us not to their own sins and to their own failures, but they pointed us always to the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. There are others who look back and they say, I thank God I was delivered from the evil influence to which I was subjected as a child. Do not ever let your child have to say that of you. But ask for grace that in your own house you may walk with a perfect heart. For surely, if we are not living in our homes as we ought to, this, above all common faults and infirmities, is one of the most damaging things. In the world, we may be under some pressure, but at home, we are free of outside pressure. For every man's house is his castle, and if inside his own castle he does not walk before God uprightly, then he stands condemned by the depravity of his own temper and his own habits. It's not so much, brothers and sisters, how you are on Sunday morning, but how you conduct yourself on Saturday night. How do you treat your workers, your spouse, your children? How do you treat your servants, your employees, your neighbors? If God, by His infinite grace and the power of His Holy Spirit, helps you to walk with a perfect heart at such times and in such places, then you will be an honor to the church of God, and your soul will be blessed. The greatest power in the world, next to the ministry of the Word of God, is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the holy living of Christian families. Let us plant in this dark world garrisons, forts of holy men and women with their children about them. And this will be a means whereby the world shall be conquered for Christ. Perhaps you've never considered this question about walking wisely. You may be shocked when your children grow up to be wicked and worldly. And you will be even more shocked when you stand before Almighty God to give an account of your life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the just and holy judge of all men and of all the earth, says to you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 24 and 25, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, Jesus Christ. You need Christ and His grace to steer the boat through this voyage of life. Oh, I plead with you this evening. Bow your knee at this very hour and say, Lord Jesus, give me your grace. Give me your Holy Spirit. Give me a renewed heart. Give me Christ to be my Savior and to help me to behave myself wisely in a perfect way until you bring me to see you in heaven. in your glory. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we are humbled by the words of our Savior. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. There is not one of us who is able to do what our Lord Jesus has done and continues to do. So, Father, we come to you because Jesus is the answer to our need. And we cry out, O Father, that you will give to us your Holy Spirit, that you will give to us your Son, the Lord Jesus, as our Savior, as our Redeemer. That you will give us renewed hearts and minds and wills, and that you will change and transform our lives so that our words and our thoughts, our desires, our emotions, our actions may follow the example of Christ. May be shaped and molded by Christ, who is our wisdom and our righteousness. Oh, Father, fill us with your word, that we may not be the scoffers and the scorners and the despisers and those who bring such havoc, such damage, such hurt, such pain in this world that's full of suffering and evil and wickedness and brokenness and grief and sorrow. Father, may we be those who bring hope and life, peace and healing. We need your help, even now, this night, tomorrow, this week, in all of our many responsibilities and relationships, in all of the many places where you have put us. And Father, we pray that those who mock even these words of our Savior may be humbled under your mighty hand, that you will use even the preaching of the gospel, poor and weak though it be, to bring them to the Savior before they perish forever, that they too may behave wisely in a perfect way and may desire fellowship and communion with you now and forever, and may walk within their homes, within their places and spheres of influence and of interaction with a perfect heart. Father, we pray for the restoration of homes, for the restoration of marriages, for the restoration of families by the power of the living Christ, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, by the preaching of the gospel, by the example and the grace and the compassion and the love and the ministry of Christian families, even imperfect ones, in this dark and sinful world. Lord, grant these gifts and these blessings, these graces, only for your own name's sake. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.